I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks. Tonight, we're going to talk about the new SAT adversity score. Yes, this is a score that looks at so many other elements of a student's life as they get enrolled in some of the top colleges. We're going to ask the question, will this help or hurt the achievement gap? And then later, we talk to a local hip-hop artist about what he's doing, about using the culture for good. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture. I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Peace and welcome to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for riding with me this evening and being a part of tonight's show. We got a fantastic show for you tonight. I'm very excited because I know this is going to prompt some real big conversations. I'm super excited. Hold on, let me make sure we good here on the technical side. Yep, there we go. We should be good. Dre Day, don't have me squeaking, sir. Don't have me squeaking, Dre Day. We got too much of an important show to get across. But tonight I want to talk about SATs. This is that time of year where people have graduations and all of that stuff, and they try to think about their futures and all of that good stuff. But even as we talk about SATs, before we get into the show, can we give a big shout out? I know we're going to have to do this. Dre Day and Alex, we're going to have to give a big shout out to the class of 2019 here at Morgan State University. Yes. Big shout out. First, they had their graduates' graduation today. I try to say that three times. Graduates' graduation. And then on Saturday, it becomes a whole movie. It becomes a whole situation on Saturday. The undergrads take to the field of Morgan State University, to the football field. And I heard this year, actually, they have a tent. They're going to put up a tent because if it's a little hot, they're going to be right there. So big shout out to all the grads. If you're planning to come out and support your fellow MSU Bears, make sure you do because I highly encourage it. And so Morgan is going to be doing their part to make sure that they deliver the next generation of critical thinkers and leaders in all major industries, all major fields, from engineering to mathematics and science to education to communications. It's just going to be a real big situation. So again, big shout out to the class of 2019 here at Morgan State University, as well as all of the other HBCUs that are going to be producing some giants that we so, so vitally need within the community. Wherever they're going to, whether they stay here in Baltimore City or whether they venture out, go back home, wherever they are, we expect you to do big things. So big shout out to them. But as we talk about graduation, this piece that we're going to talk about tonight speaks volumes about where we are in education in this country. The topic that I wanted to discuss is there is a new SAT, quote-unquote, adversity score that rates student hardships. You may have been hearing about a little bit about this morning, but it's come out that this new SAT adversity score is a way for colleges and universities to determine where a student is truly coming from. I'm going to break down the metrics of this thing for you very quickly, folks, because I think this, I don't know. I don't know how to really feel or how to which way, which side of the conversation I should be on. But here's the piece. It's a score that's assigned by the College Board. Now, if you know College Board, it's a New York-based nonprofit that is in charge of overseeing the SATs. And so College Board has decided to use the SAT exam to reportedly reflect students' family income, environment, and educational differences. All right, I want you to ride with me on this, folks. Income, environment, and educational differences. And according to the reports, College Board has decided to create what they call this adversity score to level the playing field in the competitive college admissions process. Now, college admissions has been on the forefront of everybody's of the conversation nationally because of the latest scandal in which 33 parents were charged with paying huge sums of money to have their children cheat on the SAT, essentially having somebody else take the SAT for them, or they got the answers, and then be admitted into top colleges under the false pretenses of being student athletes. You may have heard the latest word, how actress Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives, she was indicted. She had 4 months, if I'm not mistaken, and she was charged with being a part of that scandal. So now the College Board organization is saying we need to look at some things as part of trying to level this playing field. So this adversity score is calculated by assessing 15 factors that can better help admissions officers determine an individual student's social and economic background. These factors are first divided into three categories: neighborhood, environment, family and family environment, and high school environment. So there are three areas that these factors are divided in, three categories: neighborhood environment, family environment, and high school environment. And then each of these three categories, has five sub-indicators that are indexed in calculating each student's adversity score. So the neighborhood environment will take into account crime rate, poverty rate, housing values, and vacancy rate. The family environment will assess what the median income of where the student's family is from, whether the student is from a single parent household, the educational level of the parent, and whether English is a second language. And then high school environment will look at factors such as the curriculum rigor, free lunch rate, and AP class opportunities. Together, these factors will calculate an individual's adversity score on a scale of 1 to 100. Now, according to the publication, The Journal, a score of 50 is considered average. And then anything above 50 proves hardship, while anything below 50 is considered privilege. I want you to let that marinate for a minute. This new score, according to the reports, folks, will appear alongside a student's SAT score and will be featured in a section labeled the Environmental Context Dashboard. And the adversity score's formal name on the dashboard is, quote, not making this up, overall disadvantage level. But it has been colloquially called the adversity score by college admissions officers. So according to the CEO of College Board, Mr. David Coleman, He said in part, quote, through its history, the College Board has been focused on finding unseen talent. The Environmental Context Dashboard shines a light on students who have demonstrated remarkable resourcefulness to overcome challenges and achieve more with less. We just talked about this yesterday, that whole principle of doing more with less. It enables colleges to witness the strengths of students in a huge swath of America who would otherwise be overlooked. And if you're familiar with the SAT, it's a standardized test that is broken into verbal and math sections. There's also an SAT essay section. The test has a total score of 400 to 1600, with each math and verbal section being scored between 200 and 800. And the SAT essay scores range from 2 to 8 being the highest. So that's just the breakdown of what we are about to see in the revolutionizing of the SAT test. There is going to be an adversity score. I want you to share with me your ideas, your thoughts, your comments. What are your thoughts about this? Do you feel like this is going to help or hurt the achievement gap, especially for Black students, for poor white students, for Latino students, those who may not have, quote unquote, the easy pathway to educational success and achievement? Does this score help them or will it hurt them in achieving educational success? 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. We're going to talk a little bit more about this because Mr. Coleman also shared some other insights as to why College Board decided to now measure the adversity of students. This is very interesting. So if you're a son or daughter, you may not see this, and we're going to, you know, you may not see this on the SATs at this moment for this year, but it's coming. It's coming because they're, according to College Board, it levels the playing field. What do you think? 410-319-8888. Also, post your thoughts on my Facebook page as we are broadcasting live on Facebook at Faraji Muhammad, as well as on our Facebook page at WEAA. Look, we're going to take a quick pause. I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me, folks. We got a whole lot coming up in this first hour of For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA. We'll be right back. Peace and welcome back to For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We're talking about how the SATs are going to be revolutionized. That's right. It's going to be revolutionized. They're talking about how they're going to add what they call an adversity score to the SATs as a way to determine a student's family income, environment, and educational differences, looking at three categories, including neighborhood environment, family environment, and high school environment. And so we want to have a conversation about this. This idea of an adversity score. Does it help or hurt the achievement gap that's already present among black and white students, poor students or low-income students with rich students? I mean, there are a lot of disparities that exist when it comes to college testing. But I want to hear your thoughts about this because according to College Board, this is the nonprofit organization responsible for the SATs. They're saying it's a way for them to level the playing field and to show, according to the president or the CEO of College Board, Mr. David Coleman, he's saying this is a way to shine a light on students who have demonstrated remarkable resourcefulness to overcome challenges and achieve more with less. It enables colleges to witness the strength of students in a huge swath of America who would otherwise be overlooked. I want to hear your thoughts on this. 410-319-8888. All right, let's go to the phone line, see what you got to say. Also, post your comments on my Facebook page as well as WEAA's Facebook page. Kick us off tonight, Mr. Gene from Pikesville. Talk to me.
Hey, Viraj.
Hey, Gene.
Okay, good. You know who Andrew Carnegie was, right?
Yep.
Okay, you know the influence that he had on education, right? So I ain't got to go into that, right?
Well, talk to us a little bit about it, because I think we might, some people might know he was a big oil baron.
Yeah, okay.
The steel. Actually, it's Carnegie. He was either steel or was he oil, if I don't...
Steel, basically steel. But steel, the thing is, he was a billionaire, millionaire.
Billionaire, absolutely.
You know, and so he what he did was after the Civil War, basically, he established educating the workforce, just to put it simply.
Gotcha.
In other words, he and we never talk about Booker T. Washington and the Atlanta Compromise and the influence that he had on educating black people and so that they could work in the Industrial Revolution, like with Henry Ford, you know, the assembly line, so that the worker would be educated enough so that they would be, you know, better workers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the foundation. You graduated from Towson, right?
Yep.
Was it an advantage?
In some cases, yeah.
Okay. So, but the end game was for you to be employed, right?
Yeah.
And that's basically the end game for all of us, is that we could get the better job. There's only so many spots in the Ivy League schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there are only so many spots. So that means that people who graduated from Ivy League schools, they had a better chance of getting in than those who are minorities, let's just call them, trying to get into the minority schools. So this system that they have now will open it up so that we could get some of the spots.
Yeah.
And so that the end game is that we get some of those good jobs.
Okay. So you're saying this may help?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Gotcha.
I mean, for some people.
For some people.
But again, education right now is big business.
Yeah, of course.
You know, they're making money. Just like the
You say there, who you wanna who you speaking of, Gene?
The schools.
Schools, okay.
Schools making money.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Kids going to school, they want to get into school because right. They know that the end game is that they're gonna it's been proven that if you graduate from college, your income is increased by an exponential amount of money over those who graduate from high school.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So but now, and I'm sure you probably know this, now having a college degree is, now it has to be a specific type of college degree.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Back in the day, you could just have a general studies from a Morgan or a Towson.
Sure.
But you got to have a specific type of college degree for certain
things. And like me, you could go to school. I took the SAT and I stanked it. And so what I did was I went to Morgan, and I started out with 9 credits.
Gotcha.
And it took me 5 years to graduate, but nevertheless, I had a plan.
Yeah, that's
and
what
my
it
plan
is.
Was. We always disparage the Baltimore Baltimore Public School Education System.
Uh-huh.
And how deficient it is, et cetera. There's always a way around it. My son, we used a year up.
Gotcha.
He graduated number one from year up.
Gotcha.
Got the job as a coder, and he has a contract with them that he has to make a B average. They pay for his education, and he's in a career path that pays over $100,000. There's a way of getting around the system, in it, but this is just my point is that they are tweaking the system so that more minorities can get through and get some of the spots.
There it is. Gene, thank you for kicking us off talking about this in Pikesville. Let's go to Dwayne, then Clarence. Dwayne, what's your take on this, the new adversity score?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. You know, as long anytime you evaluate a person more holistically and not just by one single pane of view, you know, if you look at the entire person, you know, then you always tend to make a better judgment of that person.
Hmm.
Now, my only challenge, you know, I don't have any challenges with it overall, but, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, I still want people to, you know, grind, learn what you need to learn so that when you get in college, you know, you don't have to take remedial classes and or, you know, you don't find yourself dropping out because you thought you were smart and you really weren't smart because you really weren't grinding. You were just kind of reading the tea leaves while you was in high school. Because at the end of the day, well, you know, one of the things that a lot of people learn once you get out here in the professional world, you can't fake it. You can't read the tea leaves and see how to teach a test and all that stuff. You got to know your stuff.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? But if it's going to look at the person holistically and give more minorities an opportunity, you know, to get into some better schools, I'm all down for that and stuff. But, you know, we still got to keep the emphasis for us as a people long term on doing the work, grinding it out, learning math, learning English, learning all of those things so that, you know, we can kick the doors down like, you know, some of our other minority groups, you know, who are fighting just to get more seats to Harvard because they're like, we qualify, but y'all ain't letting us in.
Right, right, right. Well, you know what? You sound like you have the same sentiment as the president, as the CEO of College Bound. Mr. Coleman said in a recent interview, we've got to admit the truth that wealth inequality has progressed to such a degree that it isn't fair to look at test scores alone. You must look at them in context of the adversity students face.
Absolutely.
You got to look at the whole picture, the big picture. So it's going to be interesting to see how this happens. Dwayne, my man, thank you so much for checking in. Always good
thank
to
you.
Hear from you. Let's go to Clarence. Clarence, what's your take on it, sir?
You know, Faraji, I'm looking at this like this.
Okay.
And I have a question, and then I have a comment about it. I'm assuming that we're supposed to come with the public at large is supposed to come away from this conversation and say that this thing is supposed to create some parity between the bright kid from Sandtown and the not so bright kid from the Hamptons. There's supposed to be some parity there, or the brilliant Barack Obama is supposed to be in his upbringing on the same line as the not so bright George Bush Jr.
Right.
Okay? That's what I'm supposed to come away with. But even if this functions and the results come in the hands of somebody like, say, Morgan's president, Dr. Robinson, he would use this in the correct manner in creating parity between the different, shall we say, classes of society, people who come from one, the upper class, middle class, or higher class of society, as opposed to those in the lower classes. However, somebody like Nancy DuBose would use it in just the opposite direction. That's her name, is it DuBose or
DuBose.
Whatever?
Yeah. Mary DuBose.
And how does this tie in as the statistics for those people who want to privatize everything to use this as a weapon to the disadvantage of us, you know? So let's look at the negative parts, because you can categorize people and classify people, you know, by the results of these kind of things. So every time somebody comes and says, we're going to use a test or we're going to develop a test to make some distinguishing characteristics about groups of people and to create parity, let's bear in mind, it doesn't always get used in the manner that it's supposed to. But thanks for taking the call.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, Clarence, I think you bring up a great point, and we're going to take a quick pause when we come back. I want to elaborate on that point. Because do you think that this is a form of profiling? Yes, you can get all of these students' information. I mean, they looking at whether you even got free lunch. I mean, wow. They're saying, look, they're looking at individuals, according to the reports, according to Mr. David Coleman, the CEO of College Bound. He's saying, look, if a student's able to overcome all of these trials and adversity and all of these things, don't we want that type of student to go through the college admission process? Don't we want to open up the doors and create the pathway for college for that type of student instead of somebody who pays their way into college? That you have someone who earns their way into college. But the flip side, I guess, to Clarence's point is, you know, can this also, this data, this information can be used to profile? It's something to consider. I want us to continue the conversation on the other side. We're going to take a quick pause, and I'm going to hear from Nikki. I want to hear from David. I want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Again, post your comments on my Facebook page, on the page of WEAA on Facebook. And let's have a real conversation. We're talking about the new SAT adversity score rate, and it rates student hardship. Will this help or will this hurt the achievement gap that is already a challenge for Black, poor whites, Latinos, students to overcome when talking about going to college? 410-319-8888. Stay riding with us. A whole lot is coming up in the second 30 of For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me tonight, folks. We are talking about the new SAT adversity score, which rates student hardships. Yep, you heard me correctly, folks. This is a new score that was created by the makers or the overseers of the SAT score test. The College Bound, which is a score that reflects the student's family income, environment, and educational differences, in an effort to level the playing field in the highly competitive college admission process. The score is an aggregate score calculated by assessing 15 factors that can help better admissions officers determine its individual student's social and economic background, as well as looking at three key categories: neighborhood environment, family environment, and high school environment. The score, each of those three categories, has five sub-indicators that are indexed in calculating each student's score adversity score. The neighborhood environment will take into account crime rate, poverty rate, housing values, and vacancy rate. The family environment will assess what the median income is of where the student's family is from, whether the student's from a single-parent household or not, the educational level of the parent, and whether English is a second language. And the high school environment will look at factors such as curriculum, free lunch rate, and the AP class opportunities. Together, these factors will calculate an individual's adversity score on a scale of 1 to 100. According to the reports, a score of 50 is considered average. Anything above 50 proves hardship, while anything below 50 is considered privilege. So we want to talk about this particular score and get your insight on whether this type of scoring, does it help or does it hurt the achievement gap? Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. Let's hear from Nikki from Baltimore, first time caller. Nikki, thank you for your patience. What's your take on this, Nikki?
It kind of reminds me of the New Deal that FDR had in place.
Okay.
Where it's supposed to, you know, it's supposed to help people recover from the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
So when the New Deal came about, it was, hey, you get this. It was pretty much welfare. It's pretty much food stamps welfare. And it was more so, it was supposed to help people recover from the Great Depression. But with Black people, that's when you weren't allowed, you can get it, but you weren't allowed to have the man in the house. Whereas the white counterparts, they weren't given that same stipulation.
Okay.
So with this being said, does this mean with this SAT diversity, is this just a ploy to help poor whites get ahead in the situation? Because does this is this something to overlook the affirmative action that schools are held to, or diversity? Is this SAT diversity more, is this gonna override all of that, all of the other stuff?
That's a good question. I think those are valid questions, especially when you're talking about the affirmative action. You know, I mean, based on the research that we have done here, I think that this is a score really keyed in on making sure that there is a pathway for students. So essentially, like, if you are a bright and brilliant student from Sandtown, Winchester, Sandtown, Winchester community, you know what I mean? You can be competitive against a student that may be from Towson, that might have a higher score, or their parents may have, you know, make more money than your parents or something. I think
so
that's what I think that's what
the same?
Huh?
Is everything weighted the same? So if I have a two-parent household, you know, the people that have that don't have a two-parent household, is it the same? How many points does that get compared to someone who may have a free lunch program?
Yeah, that's the big question. I understand exactly what you're saying, and that is the one of the big concerns, that this whole situation can be a backlash from more affluent families and from students who do well on the test and worry that their adversity score will put them at a disadvantage. It could be, like I say, it could be also a score that people start to profile you on.
Yeah.
So that is something that I think is a valid concern to have around this. But do you think that something like this is needed? I guess that's the bigger question, Nikki. Do you think that we need to look at the whole picture, the whole story of a student, and not just their test scores?
Well, I like the gentleman before called said, I think that it's necessary.
Yeah.
Just like the New Deal was.
Okay.
However, it depends on who is behind that, because although the New Deal was supposed to be this great program, it also broke up black families.
There we go.
So pretty much, is this a ploy to, because if you look at the demographic and what the base is, it's more about poor, you know, if you're talking about inequality and with money, it's easy to say someone from Paducah, Kentucky can... I can pick someone from Paducah, Kentucky before I can pick the child in Baltimore City.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the big concerns. I appreciate you, Nikki. You're welcome. Don't let this be the last time we hear your voice. We enjoyed your insight. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to David, Baltimore. David, what's your take? Then Robert, then Jason.
Hello.
Yes, sir, David. Thank you for your patience. What's your take?
Yeah. I think this is a good thing.
Okay.
Because America right now is being faced by the emergence of Chinese dominance. Mm-hmm. And the black community has always been an untapped resource that, you know, we were only allowed to do certain things. And I think this is an effort to tap into the untapped resource, mental resource of the black community. So... It's a good thing.
So do you feel like that this might open a Pandora's box for some level of discrimination?
Well, every time, you know, we have a nation of lawyers, so there's always going to be some sort of loophole found for people who have the resources to take advantage of things meant for other people.
Okay.
You know, that's the creativity of our nation.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's going to be some of that, but overall, you know, it's a good thing to tap into all the not just in the black community, but I guess poor white people too.
Yeah.
You know, we got to tap into it because China ain't joking.
Gotcha.
They're trying to take the lead.
I hear that. I hear that. And that has been an ongoing battle for many, many years. David, I appreciate you for checking in from Baltimore. Robert, what's your thoughts on this? What's your take?
Hey, Brother Faraji, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir, we can.
Yeah, thank you, man. First of all, thanks for letting me speak on the topic. What I want to say is this. I think two calls ago, the sister who was speaking, you know, I pretty much have taken her tack on this. I mean, I really was thinking from the very get-go when I saw this online 2 days ago that this might be another ploy, another okay, though. And here's why I say this. You know, because, like, if you go back in history of this country with the GI Bill, with all the brothers who had served honorably in the military during World War II, when FDR came out with this GI Bill, my grandfather, being one of the men who served in a generation who served honorably, honorable discharge, you know, he wasn't able, like so many others like him, he wasn't able to take advantage of the GI Bill. As a matter of fact, when I did some research, I found out only 3% of the African-American men who had served honorably were allowed to even take advantage of the GI Bill. So, to me, this is another ploy, because I feel like, you know, just back in, like, for example, in the 70s, you know, when it came with this whole thing about minorities, right? But the whole minorities thing and, you know, affirmative action and so forth. When you look at it, who were the biggest beneficiaries? It was white women. Because even though we were talking about, like, minorities, we all got an uproar in the 70s about now we can start making some real progress. But what happened was, again, it's all okey-doke, and the minorities that the so-called minorities that benefited most were the white women. And that came out of nowhere on us, right? So they got a lot of the help that we thought we were going to get initially. And I think this is the same thing. Now, you can call this next part, I'm about to speak on conspiracy theory, but think about this, Faraji. You still there?
Yes, sir. I'm listening.
So think about this one part. You know, up until a few months ago, there was a renewed enthusiasm for reparation. I'm sure you heard that throughout the media.
Yep.
People talking reparations. Who's to say that this whole ploy of including some type of background merit, so to speak, who's to say this isn't something to purposely supplant the whole reparation thing? Well, we're not going to give you guys reparations, but we'll pick maybe the towns or 10 other cities, and we'll do it that way.
Mm.
This could be a way to kind of get out of giving us what we have been rightfully and dutifully deserved to have in the get-go from the very beginning. That's all I want to say. Thanks, sir.
Hey, Robert, thank you so much. That's an interesting thought. Never considered that perspective. I did not consider that. Robert, I appreciate you for checking in from Baltimore. Let's go to Jason out of Baltimore, then Jody in Glen Burnie. Jason, what's your take on this adversity score on SATs?
I would be cautious because I kind of look at it like, why are we, I guess this is my thoughts, why would we, most of the time for universities, when kids are getting prepped for going to college, they join sports in high school, they join drama club, and, you know, they basically do a bunch of things to round out their resume, per se.
Yeah.
So I find it odd that all of a sudden we place value on street cred, for lack of a better way to put it. So in essence, you know, do you come from a single-parent household, you get an extra point. So in essence, it's a case of how many quote-unquote negative points can we add up? And so all of a sudden, it just seems to me like you're chasing who's the bigger victim. If that makes sense, instead of celebrating what your accomplishments are, per se. And so then you're basically placing value on how challenging your situation is, instead of making it, I guess my question is, wouldn't it make more sense to put a higher premium on intact families, or make that the goal, per se, instead of saying, I guess in a roundabout way, I guess I'm saying, are we rewarding the negative things, I guess? Does that make sense? And then,
no, that makes sense.
At the same time, and I can't give you specifics, but I heard a story at one point where in the Indian Empire, there was a really big snake problem. And so the British at the time had said, you know, we'll pay $5 for every poisonous snake that you kill and bring in. And so after a while, the snake problem went away. But at that point, they were so hooked on the fact that they were making money off these snakes, they started breeding snakes so that they could bring those snakes in and make money. And so I guess my only thing would just to be careful on what we reward, so to speak, as far as what's valuable to gain points to do that. And then on a whole separate point, I think the gentleman, two callers prior, my only disagreement with him is that do we want the qualified people, the people that can thrive in college and in universities, they've already had the foundation placed. So if they're in high school, you know, they've got the good grades, the study habits, and things along those lines. If you have somebody that has challenges, be it at home, you know, bad study habits, and all of those other challenges that they're trying to make up for, I guess, now you have a person that they basically open the door to a university to, and they're not prepared for it. So in essence, I guess my question is, are we setting them up for failure? And I guess my third and final point is...
Well, let me just stop you right there, Jason, because I want to make sure, because I think you're bringing up some salient points as well. And I like the fact, and I appreciate you for checking in from Baltimore. I like the fact that you're asking about rewarding the negative, because that could possibly be one way to look at it. If, you know, how hard is your hardship? And it gets to that place where it's like, my hardship is so hard. Uh-oh, no, my hardship is harder than your hardship. If we get into that space, I think that could be problematic as well. And that can, for lack of a better word, commodify trauma. When you commodify the trauma to gain, to try to get some benefit from that. So I think we do need to, that this would have to be safeguarded to ensure that we're not trying to commodify trauma. We're not trying to commercialize trauma. We're not trying to make money off of someone else's pain. So I think that's a good point. I think that's a very good point. I want to hear from Jody from Glen Burnie. Jody, what's your take on this as we listen to all of these different perspectives of this?
Well, I'm kind of, you know, don't they do that now, like in elementary schools? I mean, back when I went to school, we had to fill out this card, and it asked us what our parents did and if they were in the military and our income, so they knew
who we did. Yeah, I remember that.
And don't they kind of still do that now so that the poor schools, well, excuse me, they should be doing this or supposed to be doing this, given the poor schools in poor cities like Baltimore.
Yeah.
More funds. So if they're doing it now and it's failing, what good is it going to be doing when these kids, you know, they should have something. They don't need to ask all these questions. My point is, if you go in there and you got the brains and you pass the test, then you should be able to go to college. And if you can't afford college, then there should be some kind of work besides loans that you have to pay back at high interest rates. You know, more grants and stuff for the poor people. It, you know, if you're that smart and you got that many brains, that great of brains, and you can help this country, then let's pay for them, you know, to do it.
But see, Jody, what you're talking about is ideally, right? Because you have, whether you're talking about black students, white, poor white students, Latino students, who have done phenomenal jobs on their SATs, right? But then...
Yep.
Once they get into the interviews with their college, the college admission officers, they can still say, well, yeah, they use certain language, you know, such as like, you know, you just don't fit, you know what I'm saying? Or you know, maybe this is not the right environment for you. And so there's still a certain level of discrimination. Unfortunately, it doesn't just come down to your intellect, your ability to master that particular test. There's some other factors that involve when you get and sit in front of a college admissions officer, and they look at where you come from. They start profiling you. Oh, you're from Glen Burnie. Oh, they have from low to middle income. So they
won't
start.
This make it easier for them to do that? Let's make it harder for them to do that.
Yeah.
Let's have no pictures with these. You know, there doesn't have to be an interview. You know, you look at their records. What does it matter what I think? If you should be in my school,
sure.
You know what? If you're smart enough to be in my school, then you're going to be in my school. Maybe there should be no pictures, no interviews. Stop looking at colors and races and sexes. Start looking at what's in front of people.
You know what, Jody? You might be one of the few that actually think like that. Because I think you're right. Oh, you're spot on. But we just, and it's unfortunate because the achievement gap, particularly between black and white students, between poor blacks, poor whites, and rich blacks and rich whites, is still, I mean, the gap is huge. The gap is absolutely huge, and it's bad. So, like, this whole college admission scandal, when you have parents who have gone to the extreme to try to get their child in some of these top schools, and they were able to do it. It speaks volumes about where our educational system is.
Yes, and they're going where they belong, in jail. That's not fair. That's not fair to anybody.
That's true. Jody, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in from Glen Burnie. Let's hear from Derek. You're welcome. Derek out of Baltimore. Derek, what's your take, sir? Thank you for checking in.
Hey, Faraj. How you doing? Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, Derek. I'm good. How are you?
All right. Yeah, I wanted to say... didn't we have an incident with Harvard University with some Asian students? It filed a discrimination lawsuit because Harvard was picking and choosing how many Asian kids can come to that school.
Yep. And Harvard was a part of this last scandal as well. Harvard been catching it. But yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I look at it this way. You know, I've been listening to some of the callers. Nationwide, America, we suck. Education-wise, as opposed to other nations. I'm just being real.
Okay.
I don't care if you're from the hood, Appalachia, the valley, the desert. It don't matter. We, as a whole, suck. And if you talk to people from around the world and you listen to their level of education, or I know this, we do this. I mean, right now, and maybe this is the reason why this program is coming out, so maybe we can get more diverse group of people to bring our levels up, because the children that go to school now are going to represent us in trade and business, politics, and anything else that I can't think of.
Yep.
Because a lot of Americans travel abroad, leave this country, and work overseas and do things, and you know, which is beautiful, you know. But I mean, maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's a bad thing. I'm not going to just say that this program, I guess I really can't look at it as just for poor black folk or whatever, because all of us ain't poor or whatever. But one thing I can say, I think, even if this comes about, now we have technology that we can really check on things. We you know, everybody's, if something goes wrong right now, we know. As opposed to back in the day when the person called and was talking about the after World War One, when all the troops came home or whatever. You know, a lot of people in certain places didn't even know all of that existed, or knew that black people couldn't get to that, black troops or whatever.
Yeah.
Everything that happens in the world now, we know about.
Yeah.
So maybe now programs like that will really benefit us, because now people are really watching it.
Hey, you know what? Hey, Derek, I appreciate you. Now your comments got me to think about one big question. I think that I'm gonna pose on the other side. I'm gonna get y'all a moment to think about it. Should we totally eliminate the SAT score? Should we take that from the whole college admission process? What does that really speak about the person? And I think there is a shift, folks, and I want us to talk about this. There is a shift from just being intelligent to what they call being emotionally intelligent, being able to adapt, being able to critically think, being able to be social with people. Yeah, you could be the smartest, quote unquote, the smartest person in the world, but you know the old saying, you could be the smartest person in the room, but then you don't have common sense. That's what emotional intelligence. Should we start to really look at how we define intelligence now and get into a space where standardized tests doesn't always mean it's not a true measure of your intelligence, that there is so much more, especially if you're talking about going into a college setting. Students are going in with A's and B's, but yet they're not able to make the grade when it comes to being good people or contributing members of society. I want us to have that part of the conversation just as much as we are having this discussion about this adversity score. Look, I got to take another pause. When we come back, I want to hear from Claude from Randallstown, and I certainly want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Also, post your comments on my Facebook page right now to share your thoughts, and I'll share some comments that folks are posting already in the second half. Stay riding with me, folks. A whole lot is coming up in the second hour of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely, the voice of the community.